on for the next number on the program. I want to call to your attention that here in Oklahoma, published in Oklahoma City, we have a paper, farm paper, known as the Oklahoma Farmer Stock, a rather old paper, with a present circulation now well over 250,000. That paper has been a great leader in the very theme of your conference for a number of years. In my experience, I've known very intimately two of the former editors of that paper, and I believe that's about all they've had. Very long tenure and very influential men in Oklahoma. Clarence Roberts, the last editor, died. Mr. Ferdy Deering, our speaker tonight, was an assistant editor on that paper. I understand Ferdy's teacher, who taught him his beginnings in journalism, is in this audience from Ada. But anyway, he came to the paper from a paper in Ada and was assistant editor under Clarence Roberts for a number of years. After the death of Mr. Roberts, the management of the Oklahoma Farmer and Stockman searched all over the nation for an editor to succeed Clarence Roberts. Many were interviewed. Some time elapsed. And finally, the management came to the conclusion that they had already on the staff the best possible editor to carry on the policies of that paper. And all of us here in Oklahoma now attest to the wise decision the management made at the time. The responsibility for being managing editor of the Oklahoma Farmer Stockman was turned to Ferdy Deering, your next speaker.
Mr. Chairman, distinguished guests and friends and neighbors, it is an honor and a privilege to be on this program this evening. I might say it's also an accident that I am here. Well, you're not any more surprised at it than I am for me to be here at this time. It's seldom that an ordinary farm paper editor has the distinction of addressing a group of outstanding educators. I have the greatest respect and appreciation for teachers and educators, and you seem to be in the majority here tonight. Mr. Perky mentioned that Ben Morrison, whom I blame more or less for getting me into the newspaper business. I say he's to blame. I don't have any regrets, but maybe a lot of others do. Anyhow, he's here this evening. I told him he's partly to blame for it. I must admit that the teachers that I had down through the years did the best they could for me. And considering what they had to work with and all, I'm sure that you'll agree that the teachers were very badly underpaid because they weren't getting any more than the teachers are getting today. I was interested in Mr. Perky bragging about his farm out here, which his wife runs. I don't know why or how it came about, but I do know that they raised some Hereford steers out there bigger than Jim. I'm not a farmer, but a few days ago I was down in Texas and appeared on a program with a gentleman from Texas A&M College. And he asked a very pertinent question. Why do all of the best boys from the farm, the top hands, leave the farm and go take a job somewhere else? He told on and never did answer the question. I got up after him. I said, I can't speak for all of them. I can't lay credit to being a top hand. But I do know why I'm not on the farm. I learned at a very early age that everything I picked up on the farm was heavy. He said that answered his first question, all right, but like all the rest of the school teachers, as soon as you got one question answered, he'd come back to play. He said, now tell us, how came you to be an editor? I said, well, I guess I can answer that too, because we didn't have tractors when I was a kid. But my father did have a team of recalcitrant, obstreperous, cantankerous mules. One of them was one-eyed black eye, a black critter. He was not only very unneighborly, but at times was downright uncooperative. And I had to drive that team of mules. In doing so, I developed such a large vocabulary that I grew up and became an editor. It was an accident that I got on this program. Dean Hopkins was getting the program together from this end at least, and he wrote me a letter wanting me to come over and talk to one of the conferences that you had during the day, I think yesterday. I wrote back and told him that I couldn't come on Thursday because of the previous commitment. So he came back and said, well, we'll put you down for a speech on Friday then. That put from talk to speech. Then it wound up when the program came out, it said that this is an address. I don't think I ever delivered an address before in my life. And I don't usually talk from any kind of manuscript. That was all right. 2 days later, here came another letter from Dean Thompson. He said, please bring with you a copy of your address so that we may include it in the record. Well, that was something else. So I called in my secretary and said, I'm going to make a speech to you. She said, there's nothing in my handbook for secretaries on how to punctuate and take care of eccentric editors that says I have to listen to speeches. But anyhow, I talked her out of resigning on the spot and dictated a speech. And I'm anxious to read it now and see what it sounds like. And before any of you get any notions about reading, I'd like to warn you that it's even windier outside. Before I get into it, I would like to join with Dr. Bennett and others of Oklahoma A&M College to welcome you folks to Oklahoma. We're glad to have you down here. We think it's too seldom that you folks get down here to see our great state of Oklahoma. We believe it's the greatest state in the Union. And we hope that some of you will get ambitious and move down here. We already have a lot of the best citizens from practically every state in the Union, and we still have room for a few more. This subject that has been assigned to me is better community living to improve public relations and information. What I'm going to tell you about it is really a report. It's pretty factual, I think. And I believe that it's pretty practical in the light of the discussions that I heard in the group conferences today, because it shows a method which we have devised whereby the A&M College, which has always been very cooperative with the press and radio and any other organization that had a progressive program to develop, is a practical way in which the college and outside institutions can work together to apply just what we've been talking about here today. Had I delivered this talk a year ago, it would have been a discussion of a theory for building better rural communities. And I want to emphasize that I am referring all the way through to rural communities and not to urban communities. Tonight, this talk is based upon demonstrated proof that improved public relations and adequate information can contribute much toward the building of a better community life in our rural areas. Public relations is nothing more than private relations extended beyond the individual's own homestead. I think that I shall confine my remarks to the single concrete example of how our publication and Oklahoma A&M College has cooperated with the people in these rural communities to achieve better living.
Think about our publication. And actually, it is a rather old publication, and yet I'm only the third editor of it. I'm still very young on the job. I've been with it 12 years and only been editor 6 years, but it goes back a good many years. It's quite a distinct published in Oklahoma City with a branch office at Dallas. We have a circulation of 265,000 farm families. About 50% of them live in Oklahoma, about 45% in Texas, and the remainder in other states. We consider our publication a trade magazine of agriculture, whose job it is to provide information and some entertainment for the farm families. We serve as a medium through which research data and other useful information available from agricultural experiment stations, agricultural colleges, government agencies, and similar sources are passed on to farm families who can make practical application of this information and benefit from it. We maintain a staff of considerable size to travel over our territory continually to assemble and prepare such material for publication. I mention this simply to give you an idea of our position in the field of public relations. We do not consider our position and responsibility to be limited to that of reporter, however. We feel we must also carry on an aggressive program to encourage people to seek and use information and to improve their mode of living and their relations with one another. Progress has taken a heavy toll on community life throughout our rural sections. I am sure that what's true in Oklahoma is true in many other states. Not so many years ago, farm people were extremely dependent one upon another. It was necessary for farm people to be good neighbors in order to get along. That was more of an asset than perhaps we realized at the time. The coming of paved roads, consolidated schools with bus transportation, high-speed automobiles and pickup trucks, radios, movies within convenient driving distance, and many other similar conveniences gave the families an independence that often caused them to lose the close contact that had previously existed between their family and their neighbor's family. Community centers and community churches disappeared. The spirit of neighborliness disintegrated. Folks lived near each other but did not know each other. They were no longer neighbors in the true sense of the word, and many neighbors groups completely lost their identity as individual communities. It was our thought in developing this program that rural people could enjoy the progress that was taking place and still could retain the highly desirable elements of neighborliness and a good neighborhood. We enlisted the cooperation of the Extension Service of Oklahoma A&M College, Ms. Shawnee Brown, Ms. Norma Brumbaugh, and their co-workers in this program. We found them ready and willing to undertake such a project because it embodied the same sort of teaching that they had been promoting for many, many years, and it employed the same methods that the Extension Service has proved to be the most successful. That is the demonstration method and the method that enables people to learn by doing. Because we have very substantial circulation in Texas, we felt it also desirable to work out a similar program in that state.
We also enlisted the cooperation of the Extension Service at Texas A&M College and devised a similar program for Texas. The two contests were conducted equally, separately, with equal amounts of prize money offered in each state. They were so much alike that I shall confine my remarks here this evening to a description of the Oklahoma program. First, the purpose of the contest was set forth to stimulate individual and neighborhood effort toward farm and home improvement. It had the ultimate objective of making the farm a more desirable and convenient way of life, as well as more stable and profitable to those engaged in the operation of our farms. We wanted to make the farm so attractive, I might add, that our boys and girls would want to live on the farm after they grew up. It is our hope that efforts such as these will do much in that direction. Cash prizes for the contest were offered by the farmer stockmen, totaling $3,100 in Oklahoma, with a top district prize in each of the four extension districts of $300. Cash awards were made down to sixth place. In addition to the district prize, a grand prize winner for the state was selected, winning an additional sweepstakes prize of $700. This made a total of $1,000 offered to the grand prize neighborhood of the state. We had to begin by planning a rural neighborhood. This we did by stipulating that a group might participate by establishing its own rural neighborhood, including all farm families living within the defined area in cooperation with the Extension Service and County Planning Committee already in operation in most of the counties. Incorporated towns, villages, and cities were excluded from the scoring, except as they provided markets, communications, schools, churches, and other similar facilities for the farm families living within the designated neighborhood. We left the definition of the neighborhood up to the local people, and proof that they did a good job is shown by the fact that the judges did not find it necessary to disqualify a single entry because it was not a true rural neighborhood. Because of the tremendous variation in size of farms and density of population in Oklahoma, we could not set the size of a neighborhood either on the basis of a specified number of farm families or on the basis of a certain number of square miles. We had neighborhoods participating in the contest ranging from a dozen families to more than 100. The areas ranged from 8 or 10 square miles to 150 square miles in the wheat growing section. Our observation of the contest and the progress made by the various communities demonstrates that the most successful neighborhood programs or community programs, as you probably would refer to them in the light of your conference here, were carried on by rural neighborhoods composed of 30 to 60 farm families living adjacent to one another. In order to organize the neighborhood and include all groups, we required that a neighborhood progress club or committee be set up, including at least one man, one woman, one boy, one girl, no two coming from the same family. They held offices of chairman, vice chairman, and secretary. Other officers were named by the neighborhood as it saw fit, but these many were required. Progress was recorded on the basis of a detailed analysis made of the neighborhood at the beginning of the year and another at the end of the year. This work was done by the people living in the neighborhood. Our objective all the way along was to get the people to do these things for themselves, to find out what their neighborhoods needed, and then to set up committees or officers whose job it would be to take the leadership and get what the neighborhood wanted and needed to make it a better neighborhood. The points on which the neighborhood was scored included a 10 division with a possible score of 1,000 points in each of these Division. I think if I describe these to you briefly, it would give you a better picture of the scope on which this program moved forward. First Division was Progress in Soil Improvement and Conservation. And again, I'd say that this is based on progress made during the year, not just on general excellence. It gave the neighborhood needing much improvement an opportunity at least as great and perhaps even greater than it gave to the neighborhood which already had achieved a high standard of living and a high standard of efficiency in farm operations. This first division included results coming from both individual and group efforts to terrace, contour farms, build dams, or other conservation means to stop erosion and improvement of the soil within the neighborhood. Second, we credited livestock improvement, including introduction of better grades of stock in all phases of livestock production, poultry, turkeys, both individually and on a neighborhood basis. It also included the establishment of dairy sire rings, feeding, management, and participation in livestock improvement groups. Third, progress in crop and pasture improvement, including efforts made to improve quality of seed planted in the neighborhood, uniformity such as one variety cotton or wheat associations, overseeding of native pastures, and similar work not previously credited under soil conservation. The farmstead had to be given much attention. We gave credit for painting and repair of buildings, for neatness of premises on all farms in the neighborhood, for neat, well-kept fences and fence rows, landscaping, and yard improvement and general beautification. I might mention that one neighborhood about 40 miles northwest of here had something like 30 families in the neighborhood, and as a result of the impetus given by this program, painted 21 houses out of that group during 1947. Number five was progress in farm and home equipment. Better living on the farm means modern farm home, rural electrification, addition of convenient and labor-saving equipment to make farm life more attractive to family members were credited here. Such things as water systems, butane gas, natural gas, and other labor-saving devices counted. Participation in schools and educational facilities were accredited. In Oklahoma, many of our smaller rural schools are being absorbed by larger schools. Many of our one-room schoolhouses are being abandoned. That meant that in many cases, the people who had lived there and had considered that schoolhouse as their community center said, well, our children are going off to the consolidated school or someplace, and we don't have anything to say about the way it runs. We're losing our community center and all of that sort of thing. We felt that even though
continued interest in the school and its activities and have a voice in its operation, just the same as they would if the school were in the next section. So we gave credit for progress toward adequate school facilities and for participation by families of the neighborhood in the operation of their schools wherever located, even though they may be outside the boundaries of the actual neighborhood. The life of strong and happy rural neighborhoods centers around the churches, and item number seven was credit for participation in church and other religious activities. And many, many of these neighborhoods actually made amazing progress along those lines by doing things for themselves. Number eight, we had to take into consideration that the fact that one severe handicap of many farms is their inaccessibility in bad weather. Good roads come only when neighbors take steps to develop them. And those neighborhoods which did that got credit for it. We also included such things as installation of telephones, radios, newspapers, and other communications that would make a well-informed community were given credit. Number nine, we had to recognize that participation in group activities such as home demonstration clubs, FFA, 4-H, Farm Bureau, Grange, Farmers Union,
and similar activity, the making of an ideal rural neighborhood credit. Cooperative marketing groups were in, and rural health groups. And many of these were brought into the neighborhoods for the first time as a result of this program. Number 10 was a sort of catch-all. Just in case we'd overlooked something that would contribute to the neighborhood's betterment, we gave up to 1,000 points for progress in original and unique neighborhood activities, and many of them developed some of those things. In order that you might get a picture of what a neighborhood can accomplish, let me review briefly what was achieved in the prize-winning neighborhood in Oklahoma during 1947. It's the Goolsby neighborhood of McLean County. That's about 25 or 30 miles south of Oklahoma City. For those of you who aren't familiar with our state, Goolsby began this contest by one of the women down there writing in for information. They got together and called in a man, organized according to the rules, and they enlisted the assistance of L.J. James, the very capable county extension agent, and Miss Edith Huffer, the equally versatile county home demonstration agent. Mr. James appeared on the program here yesterday. When Goldsboro neighborhood entered the Rural Neighborhood Progress Contest in January 1947, only three neighborhood or community activities were carried on. There was a home demonstration club, an annual Christmas play, and an annual box supper to support the play. Other than these things, no community event had been held in more than 11 years. The Goldsby Neighborhood Progress Club was organized with 43 families, and meetings were held at the schoolhouse every 2 weeks during 1947. At each meeting, reports of the committees were made and projects and events planned. At the beginning of the contest, the Goolsby neighborhood listed as things they did not have but wanted a church, a Sunday school, a school kitchen, a community building complete with stoves and chairs, electric lights for the school yard, a community park, a one variety cotton program, a cotton insect control program, a soil fertility improvement program, livestock disease and parasite control program, farm and home buildings painted, mailboxes painted and lettered, community and farmstead roads improved, a 4-H club organized, telephone service extended to more homes, highway signs to be erected, organize a junior neighbors club, start a rodent control program, and to provide entertainment for neighboring families. I'm sure you will agree that was an ambitious program for a dead neighborhood. They set these things up as goals, and at the end of the year, by working together, they proudly looked over the list and checked off each item achieved. They knew where they wanted to go, and they went there. In addition to these things, they added other projects from time to time that helped to make Goldsboro's progress outstanding among many progressive neighborhoods participating in the 1947 program. The families of the Goldsboro neighborhood are justly proud of the results of their work and readily agree that the tangible accomplishments and the neighborly spirit that they developed are greater in value than the award which prompted them to begin that ambitious program. What we have accomplished this year can be done by other communities and must be accomplished so that there can be a better America, the Goolsby Committee stated in its final report to the judges. The Goolsby neighborhood adopted the motto, "If you want a better neighbor, be a better neighbor." They had this motto printed on stickers, and everybody in the neighborhood put one on his car so that they'd know that he was from the Goolsby neighborhood and that he was trying to be a better neighbor. A variety of things that can be accomplished by rural neighborhoods in a program such as this is almost endless. Most of the neighborhoods, there were nearly 200 of them that began the contest in 1947. There were considerably more than 200 participating in 1948. They surprised themselves and everybody else at what they were able to achieve when they began working together. I'd like to cite a few other examples of what they can do and what results from a program that enlists the local people to do things for themselves and to do things together. Brown Grove over in Tay County dug a drainage canal cooperative. They held a young people's recreation program and obtained a site for a community center, which they established. Antelope Valley in Noble County built a new church with several denominations joining together on the project. Banner in Kingfisher County built an all-weather road to a trading center, something they never had before. Mutual in Woodward County organized a farmers and merchants club to improve relations between farmers and businessmen of the community. And understand, this was the farmers that organized the club, not the businessmen. It wasn't the Chamber of Commerce proposition. Rose Valley in Grant County carried out a community-wide soil improvement program. Johnson and McLean County, here's one of those original projects. They vaccinated all the dogs in the neighborhood against rabies. And 54 of the 63 farmers in the neighborhood joined the Crop Improvement Association in order to produce a higher quality product. Bulow in Beckham County had the women to can vegetables in the summer for a school lunch program. I was out there this week. We presented the award check to them, and they spent the money and had the what they spent it for there that night. They bought a new freezer locker for the school lunch program with it. Newcastle in May and McLean County formed a men's booster club to parallel the women's club in promoting fellowship, goodwill, and improved living conditions in the neighborhood. Ong in Seminole County broke up small cliques by enlisting the entire neighborhood behind a general improvement program that centered around the school. I could go on and on with this list, because many of these communities did a lot of these things. I've just highlighted a few of them. But we feel that this entire program is a concrete application of disseminating information and improving public relations for the building of better rural communities. Although we carried on many types of programs in the past, we have never, on the Farmer Stockman, sponsored any program which has produced as much in the way of positive, tangible, and lasting results as this neighborhood program has accomplished. We involved nothing new in the way of approach. Every item on which the neighborhood was scored is one in which has been promoted in various ways by several institutions for many years. I think the key to it lies in the fact that it required an organized effort on the part of the local people to do the things that they knew they ought to do and which, in most cases, they wanted to do. It brought about a community unity, a spirit of cooperation that had not existed previously in many of these communities. It had the distinct advantage of providing something worthwhile for every community which participated in proportion to the effort the people put forth to make their own neighborhood a better place in which to live. We have observed that every neighborhood which won a cash prize has achieved a program of its own which exceeded in value many times the amount of money which the contest offered them. What has been done in Oklahoma could be done in many other states. Democracy is the best form of government because it means a free people. A good neighborhood, a good community, is a democratic neighborhood. It is also a progressive neighborhood. It all begins with good neighbors. We believe that with this program, Oklahoma A&M College and the Farmer Stockman are helping to make Oklahoma a better neighborhood in which to live, and thus we are making a contribution, a real contribution, toward a better America and a better world.